Right, so it's Tuesday, the 31st of October 2017, and today I'm with Roy and Eileen LeGrice, and I've just travelled a short way to Woodbridge today, where Roy lives, and we're going to be talking today all about memories of Badwell Ash and living there and different things to do with that. So hello Roy, it's nice to meet you.
Hello, nice to meet you too.
Now yesterday we spoke on the phone and you said you could remember my father Geoffrey Stewart.
Yes,
living in the village. Well, he was born, baptised there in 1927, and he sort of lived there till he was about the early 1950s, and they moved away then, and then they've sort of, my family sort of lived all over the place. Now you said you were born in the village. Now you parents came to the village, did they come from Cotton?
My father came from Cotton. And he bought the farm in 1920.
Yeah, and this is Parker's.
Parker's farm.
Parker's farm.
And I think it was 1926.
Yeah.
He married his wife, who was a school mistress at Shillantoft.
Right, okay. And what year were you born, Roy?
I was born in 28.
You were born in 1928.
November 28. Yeah. So I shall be 89. Next month.
Okay.
Well, this month, nearly now.
Yeah, it's nearly November now. So you would have gone to school in the village, wouldn't you?
No, I didn't go to
You didn't?
The
no.
There's a little place at Crownland Hall at Walsham where several
right.
of us went there.
Oh, you went there. Okay.
Yeah, and then we bisked to Hepworth, caught the bus and went to the King Edward VI Grammar School.
Oh, yes. Yeah. What is that in Bury?
Yes.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
But we had to bike those 4 miles to catch a bus at Hepworth.
Oh, I see,
and
yeah.
And then later on, of course, at Walsham did a bus.
Yeah.
And after all, that made things a lot better. We
right.
went on the Walsham bus.
Yeah. So what was Badwell Ash like when you were very young? What can you remember about that? What was it like? Was there still a dirt road in the village then?
No, I don't think so. I've heard that Ritchie Road
yeah.
was a dirt road in 1920, though.
Right, okay.
There was a ditch.
Yeah.
Where the pavement is now, there was a
yeah.
ditch.
Yeah. And what was sort of village life like then? What was it like? What happened, what you can remember about when you were very young?
Well, everybody seemed very helpful. Of course, there was a village pump, and I remember people going up with 2 pails every night to get water from the village pump.
Whereabouts in the village was the pump?
It was just the other side of the churchyard, between there and where David Frost lived.
I know, yes, that's right.
That's where it was.
Now, David Frost, he still lives in that house which is joined sort of to the church wall.
That's right. That's the one, yes.
Well, some of my descendants, Simeon and Elizabeth Rose, they lived there. This is sort of in the 1860s after they got married. And then when they had children, about 20 years later, the house was divided up into a double dwelling. And one of their daughters lived there with the son-in-law and children. And then eventually they moved up the street, just past the shop, to that little pink cottage, just opposite where the pub is.
Oh, yes.
That's
yes,
right.
That they, little
they, yeah, that's
there.
Right. They moved up there.
Yeah.
Now, you might have known their daughter, which is my great-grandmother, which is Mahala. Mahala Morley, she
yes,
was by
I
marriage.
Her.
Yeah. Now, they lived
yes.
up in the council houses.
They lived there originally in that little cottage nearly
yeah.
Near the shop.
That's right, yeah.
That white brick piece.
That's right. They lived,
and then what happened is they built that row of council houses.
Yes, right. In the
10 of them just before the war.
That's right.
In fact, they were just finishing off.
Yeah. Well,
and I think she was given number 9.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they moved there at the start of 1940 because my cousin can remember that because Mahala had shingles.
Yeah.
So she remembers the year and the date sort of fairly well with that. But they did live up in Badwell Green. Originally, they...
Yes, because her husband was head horseman at the hole there.
That's right, because they They had my grandmother, who was the eldest child, in 1899, and then they moved to London. He was a drayman. They moved up there for work, and great-grandmother didn't get on with the air in London and the pollution, so they eventually came back. But they'd had another son, Charlie, up in London. And then when they moved back to the village, they were back here in 1911, and then they had Barbara in 1912, and she married George Nichols, and then there was Elsie, who married Leslie Holder first of all.
He got killed in
on HMS Curacao in the Second World War. That was cut in half by the Queen Mary. I'm reading a book on that at the moment. And then she remarried in 1961 Wilfred Pallant, and they lived up in Richard Close, the very one closest to the top of the cemetery.
I think they were up at number 9 for a little while.
And they were at number 9 for a little while, and they did live in Bullock's bungalow as well.
That's right, yeah.
Down that way, because she worked for Mrs. Bullock.
That's right.
Yeah. So that there was them. And then the last child they had was John Stanley, or Jack, and he married Phyllis Frost, and they moved and they lived in Ipswich.
I don't remember.
No, he was the youngest one. He was born in 1918.
I don't remember.
I don't remember him at all. But Elsie and Barbara lived to...
I remember them.
They lived to old age. I mean, Elsie died in 2006.
Yeah.
And she lived sort of her later years after Wilfred had died up near the cemetery. And then she moved down into the street, into Payne's Cottages, number 4, next to Mrs. Balaam.
Because
Barbara lived there first of all for years and years after her husband had died, and then she moved with her family up in Hepworth, down the bottom of Dunhill Lane.
There's a girl called Wendy, wasn't there?
That's right. Yeah, Wendy's still alive. 85 now. I see her every so often. Yeah. And Barbara moved up there to sort of live with her, and then Barbara ended up in a home in Westhorpe. She died there, and then Elsie took over Barbara's house, which is number 4, where the cottages are there, and she lived there. She lived next to Mrs. Balaam.
Yeah.
And she lived there till about 2004, roughly. And then she died in 2006, but she went up to Stanton to the nursing home there and lived there for over a year. But yeah, I'm sure you remember Elsie and Barbara, because they were sort of, you know, characters in the village, weren't they?
I remember them quite well. In fact, I think my father and Mr. Charlie Gaffer, who was a horseman, he used to sit them on when they were young girls. He'd sit them on the horses when he was taking them up the meadow and that.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
I've heard Malcolm talk about Charlie Gaffer.
Yes, he was one of the old school, really.
Yeah.
A very loyal, nice old man. He lived at Cotton, but when Father moved to Banville, he moved as well, and he was our horseman.
Yeah. How much, you said you farmed in Badwell, how much sort of land approximately did you farm there? Was that, how many acres, can you...
There was about 110 acres.
110, yeah.
But he'd also got this farm at Stanton that we farmed offhand, another 220 acres.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah.
During
the war, of course, they built the aerodrome over it, and that was taken over, the Stanton one.
Yeah.
And then he passed the other one on to me in 1950.
Yeah.
I was 21.
My father's father, Ernest Stewart, he worked, obviously I said he worked at Hollands, but he worked up at Ashfield Aerodrome during the war, and he cemented a lot of the runways up there.
Yes, Ernie.
Ernie did.
Stewart, I remember.
And I think that a lot of that was probably because he had a lot of heart trouble, you see, and I think that was a lot to do with the workload and stuff. I know he had to pack in at Hollands because he couldn't do the garden work, and I mean, Jeff used to come home from his sort of day job, and he used to do his work for him, you see, when that was getting a bit much for him.
Yeah,
but he did do a lot, as I said, up in Ashfield Aerodrome during the war, and, you know, with the runways and that sort of work. But later on, when he died, he was doing garden, and they eventually ended up in Westerfield, just outside Ipswich.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they lived in little cottage there, and he used to do gardening, and he died of a heart attack, and they brought him home in a wheelbarrow.
Oh.
And of course, grandmother, you know, that sort of, you know, affected her a lot, really, right, then, you know. And she ended up in Eye Hospital and St Clement's and places like that, you know. So yeah, that had sort of a big effect on her, yes, very much, you know. So in the village, obviously, the church would be sort of one of the oldest buildings, what was there.
Well, yes, yeah. I remember... the Reverend Fanshawe, was it?
Yes, that's right. Well, Elsie always spoke about Fanshawe all the time, you know, because that was the person who was there around when she got married and things like that.
Well,
you know,
he was quite a real old gentleman type, yeah, you know. That's they right. were those days.
Yeah.
And very nice chap.
Yeah.
But he died in, I think it was 1945.
That's right,
he
yes.
got pneumonia and
yeah.
flu turned to
yeah.
pneumonia.
Because he's buried up at the cemetery,
that's
isn't he?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. We've got one of your charts, what you done when you were over there, of the cemetery layout with all the squares.
Oh, yes.
We've got one of those, which is useful to refer to.
Well, you see, there was one point, I think that's one of the parts that never bothered to fill in. I had a Dickens for a job.
Yes, I imagine you
but,
did, yeah.
Most people knew where their own parents were.
That's right, yeah.
And Mrs. Connie Austin was very helpful.
Yeah.
She knew quite, so I got practically all of them.
That's right, yeah. That's it, yeah.
But it's quite a job getting that.
That is.
I think they're filling it up now. And
there's not many, yeah, it's not, they've only got room in there for about another four or five. And then they've got to look to wherever they're going to do then, you see.
Yeah.
When, in your time there, was it Clears Fordham who was gravedigger or someone
yes,
else?
Yeah, Clears, yes.
Clears.
He was a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
He was a
Cause he'd
clerk,
done the,
he rang the bell,
the clock,
he wound
yeah.
the clock, he looked after things in church, with a, and he would ring the bells for early services, and yes, he did a lot.
He'd done a lot, didn't he, yeah.
Oh, well, you know yeah. that fella.
I know up at the cemetery there's a lot of flint in the ground and things, and I know when he's sort of had to dig maybe a double grave for somebody like my great-grandfather Charles Morley, Mahala's husband,
yes,
they had to
I
be...
Just about remember,
yeah.
tallish look, I think.
Yeah, they had to bury them separate. She had to be buried sort of two rows further down because he couldn't get it down deep enough
Did
there because of the flint.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I mean, I can remember Joyce... Frost speaking to her years and years ago, and she used to say Clears had to dig here, there and everywhere because of the land, how it was. Not everywhere they could put a double grave in because of the ground.
Well, as it went towards the path,
yeah.
towards
it's a slope,
the school,
isn't it? Yeah.
It couldn't deep. If my parents were right by the hedge the other side.
Yeah.
And it was deep enough there.
That well, that's right, yeah.
Well, I would have had them side by side. But
yeah.
Never mind. They...
Yeah, but
all in
yeah.
one.
But then it was all digging by hand for that sort of thing, wasn't
yeah.
it? And nowadays, the co-op or whoever comes with a mechanical digger yeah. or something, don't they? Which is easier, obviously, on that.
I don't think Clears did it. Did my parents? I think by that time,
yeah,
other people were doing it.
Other people were doing it. Yeah,
probably a machine.
Yeah. So, what other sort of people would you have known back then, other sort of village characters that stood out?
Well, the buildings opposite the farmhouse, well, they were always called Blackburn's Buildings. There's a couple live there now. I forget their name, but it used to be the village's milk supply during the war and before the war. There's a chap called Teddy Blackburn had it. And he had those two meadows where the school and playing field is.
Yeah.
And he had his cows on there, and he milked them, and his wife took the milk round with cans on her bicycle.
Yeah.
And in those days, you just put a jug out and...
That's right.
And she'd get the pint thing and flop it in.
Yeah.
And that's... I can see her now going up the street with these... cans of milk delivery.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when he retired, it was for sale, and that's when my father bought those two.
I see, yeah.
Added them on.
Yeah. And now, sort of in that area, was the pub still there, the White Horse?
Oh,
was
yes,
that there? That was
still
there.
A Smith's. Old Alfie Smith had the pub, and his Monty, his son.
Right.
Who lived in St. Lanthorpe, but he's dead now. Yeah, the pub was there, and there was the church room, which, it was built rather of wooden corrugated iron, and unfortunately it burnt down one.
Whereabouts was that?
You know where the old rectory is?
The
big house.
Yes.
It was just in front of that, in that ground where those two other houses were. It was a lovely little hall. I think the Payne family built it.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was something to do with the wiring.
Yeah.
And they messed about a bit with the wiring somebody had. Yeah. Unfortunately, it went up.
Oh, dear. Because later on, in more recent times, when Richard Close was built up sort of by the cemetery there, they had the little room up there where they used to have, like, the club. I think that was Silver Ash Club.
That's right, yes. There was a little room put in there for
that's right.
All the old people could get together.
Yeah, because I know Elsie and Barbara used to go over there.
That's right.
And various other residents who lived, you know, up at Richard Close.
Marina Austin, did she do that, I think, though? Ruby Bradford.
Ruby Pratt, I can remember Ruby.
Yes, she ran that for them.
I can remember her in the 1990s. I think that's probably like a couple of years before she died. I went over there once to a whist drive with my father, and I can remember her. Mac had already gone.
Yeah.
Now, what can you remember about them two? Because there was obviously the shop, wasn't there?
Well, I think Mac's mother had it originally.
Yeah.
And then when she wanted to retire, Matt came out of the army and took it over. And for a start, I don't think it was had been going too well at that point. But
right.
He also, where the other side, he had that for fish and chips. Did fish and chips.
Oh, I see, yes.
It had been a garage sometime.
Yeah, Malcolm spoke about a garage up there, because I think his father used to have a car or something to do with that up there.
He did, yes. Yeah. But before that, there was a... it belonged to the shop, I suppose, called Malcolm.
Yeah.
Frost, that is Ruby's husband.
Yeah.
He started doing fish and chips twice twice a week, which helped.
Yeah.
And then Ruby got one of these huge square fridges.
Oh, yes.
Freezers,
yeah.
And nobody's seen one of those before.
No.
And that stood there full of ice creams and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, those two things, they...
Yeah.
Well, they had those to keep, sort of get going. And then, of course, they both worked hard and prospered and...
That's right.
They did really well there. They had two children.
Yes, that's right. Because I can remember about the fish and chips. I remember in later years, Peter Austin having what was then the Beehive Takeaway.
Yes, that was
that's
where
right.
it was.
Because I can remember when that opened. I was probably, I don't know, a teenager, let's say, something like that. And I can remember going down there. My father or mother gave me some money and said, go down there and get whatever it was from there. And I went in there once with my father. I remember Peter standing behind the counter, and he got like his white sort of coat thing
big
on. Big tall fella with sort of greased back hair.
That's right. That was Peter.
Yeah, that's Peter, yeah.
And then before that, I don't know if you wanted to drink your...
I will. We'll keep this running. Oh, see. Yeah, we'll keep this running. So.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That's lovely. Thanks. Brilliant.
Hi, everyone.
Okay. I went out to sort the washing machine because it was screaming its head off because it had finished. And I thought you might get this on your recording.
Yeah, so we've spoken about Peter Austin and the fish and chip shop.
I think actually... They turned the garage into a fish and chip shop. Matt probably did.
Yeah. And that road or pathway up there is now called Austin Way, isn't
That's
it?
Right,
which I guess is after him.
Well, yes.
Yes.
Well, he owned it originally.
He owned it originally,
And he built his bungalow up there.
That's right, yeah.
And then the other side, he put other houses.
Yeah. Now, sort of going up the village towards Hunsdon, obviously we've got Fordhams and the mill and things up there. Right. What memories do you have about the Fordhams?
Well, I remember them all living there. Lots of boys, a big family of them.
That's right, yeah. Now, I think there was about 10 of them, 10 children as far as I remember.
Six girls and six boys.
Yeah.
One of them was taken prisoner in Germany, and one in Japan, I think.
That's right, yeah.
Or one in Italy. The younger one was a prisoner in Italy, but the one who came from Japan, well, he didn't live much longer after that.
No, I spoke to a...
He was called Roy Fordham.
That's right, yes. I spoke to a descendant of his, which is Doreen Fordham.
That's
now,
right.
She, I know she was born, I think, in the early 1940s. Cause
that,
my...
that was Jeff's... Doreen Fordham, yes, sir.
I think she was Harold's daughter.
Harold, that's right.
Yeah, I'm sure she was Harold's daughter.
Yes, that's right.
I've got a picture of her when she's about four, I think it was, where she got her pram.
Yes.
And that's in wintertime. My father took it, and I met her in April when they had a day at the church, history day, over at the village. And I corresponded with her, and I sent her this picture, and I said, is this you? And she said, yes, that was me. And she's... helped with some research what we've been doing about the windmill, because we wanted to... the man from the windmills trust came to the day, and he wanted to know all about when the windmill came down, and we found various pictures of it when it started to get a bit derelict.
I've seen a picture of somewhere of it.
Yeah, this man had managed to get a picture of it when it was working on the road from Hunsdon, and you could see through the trees, and it sat back up on a higher ground.
Yeah.
Then it sort of got derelict, and bits of it had started to fall down. Then they took the buck down, which is sort of the main body of it, and that used to stand in the yard, and there's still some old sheds what stand in the yard.
I understand it was... they moved it because they wanted to dig it for the pit.
For the pit, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because also to do with Fordhams, one of my cousins, Jane and Jean, who are twins, and you might remember them.
Yes.
Now, they're still about. Jane lives in Ipswich with her husband.
They were Janet's children.
Janet's children, that's right. Because Janet was... no, I think Janet was paralysed from the waist down or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Bob Smith, who's their father, he remarried. And then the girls... Jane went to Barbara. Barbara sort of brought her up, and Jean went somewhere else as well. And that's what happened with them, because he couldn't look after them.
Yes, they were split, weren't they?
They were split up, yeah. But he couldn't look after them. But they're both still about.
I remember them, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Because Malcolm's got a lot of pictures sort of from that period where there was like the... whatever the day was in the village, and there was like a... parade or like a float or that sort of type of thing, and they would have had pictures done, you know, with different things when people dressed up or whatever it may have been. But there was that sort of thing what he done as well. But now Bob Smith was the chap who had something to do with the pit, didn't he, Rob?
Well, I think his brother Freddie had
it. Yeah,
Fred had the pit.
Yeah. Because I can remember Bob Smith, because he always used to have a hat on when he walked around, and sometimes...
a pork pie hat.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Because when we were younger and we used to go and visit, we used to live in Ipswich, you see, we used to go over to Badwell probably about every 6 or 8 weeks, something like that, during the year. And we always, when we were little, used to go down the pit and play down there, and... you know, previous generations, like my father and cousins and whatever, they've always sort of been down the pit, and that was sort of part of the village, you know, where, because it had been dug out of somewhere you could run around and that sort of thing, you know.
Well, up at the end, what was it? We used to call it the school road, because that's where the school was, which Ritchie Road.
Yeah.
At the end there was another bit of a pit.
Yeah.
Before those two houses were built, and the Simons has had it, and they used to let the children... around there, they played football down there.
Yeah.
And I think I can remember the Silver Jubilee and where they were having races and throwing sweets and that sort of thing.
Oh, that sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah. And there were two teachers there at the school, the Miss Houses.
Right.
I bet you've heard of them.
I've heard of the name.
Miss Howes. This is the older one was the governess, and the younger one, Miss Eva, was the children's. Younger children. They were very, very good teachers, actually.
Mm.
And what they specialised in those days is something called the competition called the bird and tree. Nature study, birds and trees, and then they went in for this competition every year, and they very often won it.
Oh, I see.
In all Suffolk.
In all of Suffolk, yeah.
Yes.
Because I can remember Elsie talking about the school on Richer Road, and that it used to be like a big room and a small room.
That's right.
For the sort of the two ages of children, I suppose.
Well, yes. Yes, I can remember. I can remember the school.
Yeah. I've got some pictures at home of sort of groups of children, and then they have to hold a little blackboard up with what the year was when it was taken.
Oh, yes.
And I've got one in about 1912, 1913, and that's when my grandmother and her younger brother came back from London to the village to move there, you see, when they moved back from London. And we know we can sort of date it because of them being in the picture and things like that. And then there's lots of school records after that about the village school, you know, and there's lots of the Fordhams and various other families who lived there, and it said what they done at school and things like that. When would you say sort of motor transport came into Badwell? Because obviously it would be horse and cart in the earlier days, wouldn't it?
Well, after the war, really, I suppose.
Yeah. Is this after sort of the First World War we're talking about, or the Second World War?
I'd say the Second.
The Second, yeah.
Well, I mean, of course there were cars about.
Yeah.
But it was almost, if one went through, people looked at it.
Yeah.
Or if an aeroplane flew over, it was an aeroplane.
Yes, because that's something, you know, I mean, you would have had lots of aircraft around there in the Second War because of all the air bases, wouldn't you?
But in the early 30s, I'm talking, when I was really a tot, there weren't many cars.
No.
The doctor obviously had one.
Yeah.
The parson had one.
Yeah.
Father had one. He had an older Fiat.
Oh, yes, yeah.
He had an older, what they called the old T Fords originally.
That's right, yes.
What happens when I'm talking? Yeah. I'm doing it.
So the garage in the sort of the village, what we spoke about earlier on, that would sort of be where people would get petrol and things from, would it? Or
no.
No.
The petrol was at the shop, the main shop.
Oh, they had it there. A
chap called Pryke had it in my time. And there were iron railings across the front, and there was Shell and Esso.
Oh, I see, yes, yeah.
And that's when, and of course, I think during the war, there wasn't much petrol.
No, everything was,
there wasn't any at all except for businesses, and it was rationed for that. But has anybody told you yet about the night the village was showered with incendiary bombs?
No.
Well, we looked out of the window, and across where the playing field is now, we saw this great light of something burning, and of course that was one of them.
Right.
My father went across after in the morning and picked the end of it up.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Well, apparently another one had fallen behind the farm at where we were, Parker's Farm. Another one had hit the railings right in front of the petrol pumps.
Oh, yes.
It had bent the railing in, jumped across the road, and burnt out where the pub car park is.
Oh, I see.
And I think there were one or two others, but I remember those three.
Yeah, they were.
That's the only thing we ever went near any bombs.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there much other damage like that? I don't remember anybody else sort of speaking about that in, you know, over time.
It happened very early.
Yeah.
It happened in before 1940, I suppose.
Yeah.
When the bombing was going on.
Yeah. And You spoke a little bit earlier on about Simons. Now, they were up at Shagland Hall.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, well, my father did work up there for a brief period of time when he was probably in about his 20s, I would say, because I've got a picture of him holding a horse up there with one of the Simons. I don't know which one. I have got to go and see a lady. She is a Simons, and I can't remember her first name.
Margaret.
That's probably who it is, yeah.
At Barcelona.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got to go and visit
her. You won't get much out of her.
No.
Well, she just talks and...
Yeah.
Talks and...
So they...
Doesn't really say much at the end of it.
No.
Of course, she is getting quite... I think she'd be... Well, I know how old she is. She's 84,
yeah. So they farmed up at the hall there, and I know they lost some people in the First World War, because I think they're on the war memorial. We are doing the research on that at the moment, of all the First World War people.
There were two sons killed there.
That's right, yeah.
Out of four. The oldest and the youngest survived, but...
Yeah.
The one was in the Royal Air Corps.
Yeah.
I think got killed in a plane, and the other one got killed in the trenches, I think. Yeah, two of them.
Yeah.
But,
now, up at
the... Really, there's not much to say about them, really.
No. Now, the other hall in the village was up Badwell Green, up that way, wasn't it? Now, that was...
Shield.
Yeah. And what do you know much about that there, or about the Badwell Ash Hall up there, or?
Well, it's a lovely old house.
Yeah.
And there were two sons there, Donald and Colin. I knew them because they were at the same school as I was at.
Right.
And I had parties there.
Yeah.
This big staircase, I remember. Yes, it was... Well, it was just the fact that he had that farm and farmed it, really.
Yeah.
I suppose that's about all there was to say about them, really.
Yeah. Going back to your parents' farm and stuff, what was sort of the main thing on the farm? Was it animals or was it crops or...?
When I did it, it was chickens. I think with my parents, it was... Well, they used to have a little of everything, you know.
Yeah, I see,
sort of a yard of cattle.
Yeah.
Sort of a few sties with pigs and chickens running about. And and the main stock was kept over at the other farm at Stanton.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But I suppose they used to grow wheat, barley.
Yeah.
Sugar beet.
That's right, yeah.
But when I took over, you know, there didn't seem to be enough... land, really, and so I had these huts put up, and I'd have about 120 hens in deep litter.
I see, yeah.
And I used to get about 700-800 eggs a night.
I see, yes.
And then, of course, the batteries came in.
Yeah.
And, well, batteries would do 90%, whereas my way would do 70%. So, really, there wasn't much... market for, well, it's harder to get a living that way because the batteries were, and there was no difference. They didn't differentiate in those days between deep litter and battery, just the size of the egg. So I thought, well, this won't do. And I didn't like the battery way, it was horrible.
Yes, that's right.
That was always the way of getting more land, and that's when, you know, I got some offhand land and farms.
Yeah. I always remember going over there when I was younger, and we always used to go up at Christmas time up to Tights for pheasants.
Oh, yes.
Up there. Because I think there's the sort of the outbuilding is still there, and it's still sort of visible from the road, because you used to go up a slight little concrete driveway.
That's right.
Right on that, nearly on that junction, and there used to be a shed there on the
right.
And we used to go over with Wilfred Pallant, because that was Elsie's husband then, you see, and he used to have to go and pick the birds out. Because we used to have a brace at Christmas normally, and then there was a cousin, my mum's brother-in-law, actually, he used to have a couple of braces, so we all used to go and pick them out. You want them ones, you know, and you go and pick them up, and then and we'd go and get them each year and take them back for them. But we always used to go up there. That's something I
He had heaps of them there, didn't he?
Yes, it was a lot. Yes, there was.
And he'd say, they're all plucked out, pick the couple you want, doesn't he?
That's right, yeah.
And, no, he did well. But the original sheds were built by a chap called Major Hughes.
Right.
Who'd come out of the war.
Yeah.
And he wanted to do something. And he decided to do this deep litter.
Yeah.
And did it quite well, I think. But once again, when the batteries came in, you see.
Yeah.
So that's when he gave it up. And then that's when, I think, Dyke got it.
Yeah. What was the other farm called up in Stanton, what your parents had?
Stanton Hall.
Stanton Hall, yeah. Because
right up by the aerodrome.
Yeah. As you go out of Walsham and we sort of head up the road there, which is, I think, a Summer Road, isn't it?
Yes,
and
then, Summer Road.
Yeah, and then that takes you right up to the main road where you would come up to Hepworth, which is sort of the other side, really, yeah. Isn't it? So where would that be?
We would go to that main road, turn to the left towards Bury.
Yeah.
Past the Duke of Marlborough pub.
Yeah.
And about another mile and a half down there's a driveway going up to the hall.
Was that on the sort of the left or the right side?
As
you were travelling up sort of towards Bury, yeah.
On the left.
On the left side, yeah.
Yeah, that's where it was.
Yeah. Because with doing sort of family trees over a long while, my father started off our family tree probably about, I don't know, 10 years before he died, and that sort of ended up on paper. And then I carried it on about a year after he died, and I found all sorts of families who we're related to around there. Now, another family up in that area was the Wales. Now, I know
Westhorpe, they were, weren't
they? Sort of Stanton, Westhorpe, Walsham area. They're all sort of around that way.
I just heard of one, Billy Wales.
Yeah.
And we had bought a farm off him at Westhorpe.
Yeah. Because there's a bit of land sort of on the Disbury Road, the Hepworth side, and there's a bit of land there called Wales's Field, because my cousin who lives up in Hepworth, they own that, you see, and there's a bit of land there, but I don't know if you would know anything about that Wales.
Not really. I just knew about this Billy Wales.
Billy Wales, yeah.
That was this farm at Westhorpe we had off him.
Now, but going back into Badwell, in the street there, so if we're sort of opposite where Parker's is, where sort of the modern school, which is closed down, is, now Malcolm has given me a picture. I haven't got it with me, but there's a picture there of this building, and it used to stand there before the school was built, and it had like some sort of big doors what opened on it. And there's a group of people on there. He said... that the picture was taken about 1910, and that would sort of be right, because my great grandmother was in there, and obviously it got pulled down later on. But there's a group of people sort of dressed in the period of that time and stuff. But he said that used to stand there.
I think I've seen that picture.
Yeah.
Well, it was gone before my time.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was gone before my father's time, I think.
Yeah.
In 1920.
Yeah. Now, where the sort of the new school is, so to speak, was that land some of your father's there?
It had originally belonged to the farm in the very old days, and then a chap got hold of the farm and broke it all up. And those fields went to this chap Blackburn got them.
Yeah.
But when he retired, my father bought them back.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And, what happened? There was about 4 or 5 acres, and then it went on to our meadows at the back.
Yeah.
And I always thought it'd be nice to have a playing field there. And then, of course, the school wanted, and so they bought this site for the school, but then there was still 3 acres at the back, and I thought, well, that would do nicely for a playing field.
That's right, yes.
So I gave him that. And there was a site on the... Well, I thought we'd do for the new village hall.
Yeah.
I was on the council at the time, and I got the planning through for this village hall. And then, of course, they went ahead and built it.
Yeah.
So that's how that got there.
Oh, I see, yeah. Now, with the church, before the cemetery up at Richard Road was opened up, we've sort of done a little bit of research on that, and there was a piece of land at the bottom there, closer to Richard Road to start with. Then they had the piece above it, didn't they? That was sort of added on.
Oh, the old cemetery.
Yeah.
No, the cemetery.
Well, the current one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But were they, in your father's time, what was going on? Because I know they added the top piece in 1917, because the first burial right up near number 2, Richard Close, was up then, and obviously they come down sort of in years.
Yeah.
But were they just using the land sort of in the churchyard then, in your father's time?
No, it was already, he came in 1920.
Yeah, so that would be like the bottom bit of the cemetery, wouldn't it?
Well, I think the top bit as well.
The top bit as well, yeah.
It had just been started then.
Just been started, yeah.
Uh-huh. But it went, you see, the top bit that went down, so yeah. The last bit was by the road.
That's right.
So and then, of course, they started right back again.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And once again, that was split into two pieces, wasn't it?
Yeah. How many other farms besides yours in the village sort of was there at the time? Was there a lot?
There were 12 originally when I was
there?
A child, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I think there's 3, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah. Was there a lot of other sort of things being farmed? Because I know you said you had a lot to do with hens and chickens and things like that. Was there a lot of other sort of... was there a lot of crops growing in the village, or was it more like cows and milk and that sort of type of thing? Or
no, there wasn't much milk, not in the actual village of Birdwell.
No.
Across the river at Langham, where
yeah,
the Jacobs's place, that was a...
Yeah.
They had cows there. But no, I don't think any of them... They'd have the house cow, you know.
Yes, yeah.
But they were not... Well, I think that perhaps Churchyard, Mr. Bullock.
Yeah.
He had a few.
Yeah.
But that was about all.
Yeah. I can remember when Elsie and Wilf used to live in Bullock's bungalow down that way.
Yeah.
I can remember sort of the entrance to a farm near enough next door, just sort of heading towards Walsham Way, just before Badwell Green or thereabouts. And I can remember there was a load of... piglets there, and they were all dead, and they all laid near the road because they got to be carted away.
Ooh.
But I don't know if that was bullocks or not. Just past the bungalow, not very far along.
Past before you got to the one that went up to Birdwell Green?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I think it must have been them.
Yeah, I reckon that was them, yeah.
I suppose that was when there was swine fever.
That might have been something to do with
I think there was a break of swine fever, and of course everybody's pigs were killed.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember that much.
No. So during the Second World War, you said about the incendiaries which came down and things like that. Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of Americans sort of coming to and fro through the village? Because obviously, I remember my father saying that they used to go to Walsham drinking because there was a lot of pubs up there. Because there was just one in Badwell, and there were several
they
up
went
in
there.
In
Welsh. Several of them went there.
Several of them went up there, yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't see them there.
No.
But I tell you, Ellie Rose, you know, Marjorie's
yes.
father, he says, you know, they often got in there.
Yeah.
Because they were the ones who were flying.
That's right, yeah.
Daytime flying.
That's right, yeah. So Badwell sort of got off sort of fairly well with bomb damage then. That sort of got off fairly lightly.
There wasn't any at all.
No.
No. Langham had a couple of landmines somewhere, but
they
went into a meadow.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't much really in this area.
No.
Wetherden had a couple of houses knocked down, I think.
Yeah. I know, like in... sort of in Ipswich, there's a couple of heath areas of heathland there, and there are actual bomb craters there, and they're still as though, you know, it's been sort of carved out of the ground. And I know what the size of those are like, so you can imagine if that had have landed in the village, what sort of damage that would have done and things like that, you know.
I'll tell you what we did have. We had one of those American ones crash when it was loaded with bombs. Have you heard about
that? I've heard about that, yeah.
Well, all the old farmhouse had a row of bells, and that was, I suppose, in those days, you, when it was a hunting place, that you rang the bell and somebody brought you what you wanted. Anyway, that was such a bang, it made those bells ring.
Yeah.
And I think it blew a couple of windows out of the church.
Oh, yeah.
And I jumped out. Of course, this was quite early in the morning, and it was because we're getting near 8, and you could hear them getting all up these ways, and then suddenly bang. And apparently it had somewhere across the old Langham Way that hadn't got up, and that had landed, and that had bounced right along the this Badville side of the river, right sort of into, you know, halfway to Walsham. And there was this string of fire the whole length across.
Oh, I see,
And somebody saw me. They said they actually saw the petrol, you know, the flame run across.
Yeah.
And anyways, it had blown to bits. Yeah. I think they were all killed, except one who fell out right at the beginning.
Oh, dear.
The tail gunner, I think. He somehow, he was bounced out of it. Yeah. So Langham Way, and the rest were... But it was very nasty and biggest bang I'd ever heard.
Yeah. What was it like just after the Second War, when the war had finished? What was it like in the village then? Obviously, things were still rationed for a while, weren't they?
And they were like rationed until 1951.
Yeah. So how was it then when the war had finished? What was things like there then?
Well, the rationing was worse.
It was worse, was it? Yeah.
And they even rationed bread, which wasn't rationed during the war.
No.
But they had to ration bread.
Yeah.
And, things were really very, very tight.
Yeah.
Right until 1950-51. Mm. Then, after 51, these things began to come off the rationing. Yeah.
Did you have to go anywhere else, like, to get things what the shop didn't have in Badville? Because I know, like, my great-grandmother said she always used to have to walk up to Walsham to go to the butchers, you see.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Because she used to go up there either to Rolf's or Blizzard's.
Oh, yes, Blizzard. He didn't have a fan, did he? He was an old man with a bicycle and bolt upright, and he had his meaty.
Because that was near a Badville end of Walsham, that shop, and she always used to...
It's near where the doctor's was.
Yeah.
That's where Blizzard was. Yeah. Of course, Rolf's is where it was.
Where it is now.
But there was also the other one. There was a third butcher shop down on the corner as you go up to the mill. Yeah.
One of them she used to go to if that was raining, so she didn't have to go right down to Rolf's. She'd normally go to Rolf's, but if that was raining or something like that, she would go to Blizzard's. And he always used to say something to her when she went in there. I think they were distantly related or something as cousins, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And he always used to say, like, hello, cousin, or something. Ah. And that used to annoy her when she went in there. But Malcolm always said about Mahala, my great-grandmother, she was a fairly strict lady.
Well, how amazing
she didn't die until 1961.
They were all strict in those days.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
They still all got the old Victorian touch.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was.
My grandparents were. Yes.
Now, your parents are buried in the village, aren't they? That's right, in the cemetery, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you sort of move out of the village and then move back again? Is that right?
We were away for about 8 years.
Oh, right, okay.
Because I bought this farm at one house.
Yeah.
And I was doing the house up because it was rather a wreck. And then we decided, you know, it'd be rather nice to go and live in it when it was finished.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. And from about 1980 to 1987.
Yeah.
About 7 years, would it be there?
Seven and a half.
That's when we were there, and then we came said, well, I wouldn't mind going, but we looked everywhere for a house.
And oh, I see, yeah.
We wanted one with a big enough garden, then we got two cats, and it sounds silly, but
yeah,
we thought it'd be nice to have a bit of space. And
that's right.
And then I saw this one in Long Thurlow. And, you know, well, upshot of it is we bought this one at Long Thurlow and there for 29 years.
Yeah.
And we only left last year.
Yeah.
Well, it was too big, you see. That's, I want something neat and small now.
Yeah, and that's nice out this way, isn't it?
It's nice, but I still like Badwell, you know.
Yeah.
The church and so on, you know.
Yeah.
Miss that, but there. Yeah. And time marches on, and we did the right thing, of course.
Yeah.
It is lovely here.
Did you ever have anything much to do up sort of the end of the village where Hollands were? Because on the hill there, there's sort of the modern bungalow and the cottage there, which are actually in Badwell Parish, aren't they? Because they're divided by the road.
That's right.
Well, that cottage is where my father used to live and my grandparents, his parents, when he was growing up. That's where they lived when they worked for Hollands in the cottage.
The one that was the older cottage.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's more like a sort of a small house, but that's still there.
That's where he was.
Lived in there. And then the bungalow, or the modern bungalow, that's where Joyce and Teddy Frost lived.
That's right, yeah.
Then she moved back up Back Lane when her brother died.
Yes.
But did Hollands have much to do in the village, or did they
they're
Ashfield, so they sort of, I mean, I know they had to come into the village for different bits and pieces, didn't they? But do you see very much of them or not?
You saw them, did you? Well, Eileen has again. She's heard much about them, and
I'd never heard about them. And we were recently married, and I came from a different part of the country altogether. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I looked out of the window, and there was this sort of horses and trap going up.
That's
the
right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought there must be ghosts.
Yeah, that's how they used to ride around. I do talk history talks, and I've recently written one on the Hollands because my grandparents worked for them, you see.
Right.
And I went and saw Janine, who lives there in the house now, and she got all these pictures out. I mean, there was a old suitcase came out full of pictures, and they all had a picture individually. If a picture was taken, they all had one each. So there's like six or eight of the same, you know, and she did sort them all out. I mean, I don't know how long that took her to sort them out. Yeah. But like you say, I've got pictures of the pony and trap.
It wasn't just them. The pony and trap, it was the way they were dressed.
Oh, yes. With the hats. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, because they used to travel from London to Elmswell on the train, and then they used to come, you know, the last bit by pony and trap or whatever it was to get there. And when I was very little, I think my mum said I was about 18 months old, so that would have been about halfway through 1973, something like that. And we went to visit Isolt, and it would have been Elsie and Matty. They were the three who would have been alive then, and they phoned Pratt's shop up in Badwell, and they said, please can you send up a packet of biscuits suitable for a small boy, and that was for me. But yeah, my mum can remember a lot, because she obviously started going there before I was born, but she can remember, and they used to get taken on tours all around the house. One used to go upstairs and used to get taken up there and shown around. One used to take you around the gardens, and that was, you know, it was that sort of thing. But they were a nice family, you know, and lots of memories to, you know, to do with them as
very
well.
Very wealthy.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yes, that's right. Because they were all to do with the Hawes Bank in London.
Can I get you another cup?
Yes, please. Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
Right. Oh, you haven't finished.
Oh, God. Could you bring me one of those sweets again when you're going in? When I do a lot of talking, you see. Aunt Ellie Rose, who used to work.
Yes.
He told us one story about them when they were all boys. Cut that out if you can.
Yeah, we'll do that. That's no problem, yeah.
He later we all went round their cow singing.
Round to the house, the yeah. Yeah.
The butler came and sort of cleared us off right
I
quickly.
See, yeah.
And he didn't know they were up in the bedroom listening.
Yeah.
It's a big sitting room up there, dining room.
Yes, that's right.
So, where are the boys? Where are the boys? Well, I sent them off, man. Get them back at once.
Oh.
He said, we were running down the... And he was shouting, running after us, said, come here, I want you. Thank you, dear. He said, I shan't hurt you. I want you to come back.
Yeah.
So, of course, they were very small by this time.
Yeah.
Took them up and said, oh, he said, you know, she had us in there singing and
yeah.
cakes and
oh, yes, yeah.
lemonades.
Yeah.
And, you know, got very happy memories yeah. of it.
I can remember when the last one, Isolde, was still alive, and we used to go and visit, and she then sort of lived kind of in one room. She lived in the kitchen.
Made 100, didn't she?
Yeah, and she had all these cats, and there's probably about 30 cats. We took a couple of kittens off her once, these blue Persian kittens, and one of them we had, that was about 19 years old or so, you know, that lived for a long time, yeah. but we had some cats off her. But she could always remember about my father when he was very small, and every time we went, she would always give a little story, and it was always different, about something what he'd done when he was very small, about 2 or 3 years old, you see.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's nice to hear these things, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
The only time I had anything much to do with them was I was just church treasurer, was I? And, no, secretary. Anyway,
yeah.
I wanted to collect them, and the chap said, have you asked the Miss Hollands? I said, well, no, because they're Asheville. He said, no, he said, funny old gals, he said. They'll probably send you something. So well, I will. So I did send them this appeal letter and didn't hear any more.
Yeah.
Which I didn't hear anything. Oh, don't worry. They don't open the letters only when they feel like it.
That's right.
Do you know that a fortnight later, back came a letter with a cheque for £100.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, as they all died, only the oldest son got married. All the others never got married, and because when they died, everything money-wise got passed on to the next one.
Yeah.
So when you get to Isolde at the end, then there's quite a lot of, you know, money left there. And I mean, a lot of it got left the cat's home and all sorts of things like that, you know. When she died, I mean, she was 101, so yeah. she lived a long time, you know, she lived a long time on her own there.
Yes, she did, didn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah. And I know that Father said that they used to shut each room off as the water used to get in. They used to shut it and didn't go in there anymore, you know, rather than get the roof fixed or something.
Sad,
you know.
But there was a chap who had a part of the house. He had a garden, didn't he? And they looked after her, didn't
That's
they?
That's right, yeah.
I imagine he did quite well out of the whole
thing. Yeah, they're still there now. Yeah, they like lived on in the cottages and things on site, and they looked after her, and you know, and until she passed on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that's quite a long time ago, you know. I think it was 1999. I think she died. So that's quite a long time ago, you know.
Yeah. But I remember there were two of them, I think. I can remember
yeah.
two of them.
Yeah. Well, the previous two sort of died in 1978 and 1979.
Yeah.
Yeah, one went to the nursing home at Stow Langdiff, and then the other one died in the house, you know, as well.
Yeah. Rather sad, but they seemed happy enough.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same as the Miss Wilsons at Stow Langdiff. There were four of them.
Yeah.
All spinsters who lived in a house there and dying off one by one.
Yeah.
That's what happened with these big houses, people with...
That's right.
...with money, you know, they never encouraged the girls to marry because...
No.
...in those days... Whoever they married would immediately have their money.
Yeah. Well, with the Hollands, I know from research and everything, they it was sort of the time of the First World War, and there was that gap of the four years, you know, when people, men were away and stuff, and then that's why none of them sort of got married. But when doing their family tree, it turns out that they're directly descended from Edward the Third. So yeah, they're like Isolde, sort of at the very bottom. He's like her sort of 19 or 20 times great grandfather. So they would have only married into certain families, you know. They would have had to been somebody to actually marry them, you know. And I think the father, Arthur Holland, I think he was sort of, you know, in charge of that sort of thing. And that's all, you're not going to have anything to do with them sort of thing, you know. And that was that sort of...
They finished up without having anybody,
yeah.
But didn't they own Holland Park in London, I heard once?
They,
there's certainly a connection.
There's a connection there to that, yeah, because they used to live in sort of Piccadilly area in London. That's there's a load of flats now where they're London residents. But, they, and then they used to commute back, you know, backwards and forwards to Ashfield. But, you know, he wanted a house in the country, and that's what he got, really, you know. And it was I'd been all round it, you know, when I got shown around over different times, you know. And it was a nice place, you know.
Well, it must be a lovely house when it was going full grown. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So, what I was going to say was, do you remember much about any other sort of characters in the village, you know, sort of with day-to-day things? Does anything else sort of stick in your mind?
I think there's somebody called Jimmy Hector, but I've heard the men talk about him, but it was just before my time. He sort of slept rough part of the time. Yeah. And he would say, well, sort of, it's getting dark and cold now. I think I'll have to have a few weeks in Norwich, jail.
Yeah, oh, I see. Yeah.
And apparently he went into the shop with a sack, and there were huge piles of tea there, and he swept them all into the sack when no one was looking, and tramped off to bury him.
Oh.
Whoever he met, it was like a half pound of tea. Ooh,
yeah. Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, anyway... had to write on the cart coming home. I think they had this horse and cart transport. And when they got to Badville, the policeman stood there. And Jimmy hops out and said, I think you're looking for me, aren't you? He said, yeah, Jimmy, you're the chap we're looking for. And of course, he had the Christmas in Norwich.
Oh, I see, yes.
Which is what he wanted.
Yeah.
But apparently the story is that they gave him a saw and told him to start cutting wood up.
Oh, I see.
And of course the saw was blunt.
Yeah.
He said, look here, just give me a sharp saw, I cut you twice as much as this. Because he didn't mind doing it. He said, we just want to make you unhappy all the way. The boarders said, we want to torture you.
And
silly little stories.
Well, that's right. No, but that's all things what sticks in your mind and what happened, wasn't it? You know.
Yes.
What about the shop, which is sort of... just like nearly opposite Parker's, which is like the general shop now, what sells newspapers and whatever. When did that sort of start? Because Pratt's had a different premises, didn't they? Yeah.
But I have a feeling at one time they did have something to do with that one as well. Yeah. But there was somebody called Keane, had it.
Keane, that's right, yes. Now, he's one of the people on this picture, what we were talking about earlier, where the big shutters are on, because Malcolm speaks about him.
I think he did a lot for the village, he's a well-known character.
Was that shop what we're referring to at the moment, was that there when you were young, or did that come later?
Oh, no, it was where he was there.
Yeah, that was there.
Yes, it is. James Hands once or twice.
Oh, I see, yeah.
It's called Pierce's Stores at one time, because there's somebody called Pierce had it.
Yeah.
But there's somebody called Pryke had it.
Yeah.
When I remember, during the war.
Well, my father always used to be friends with some Prykes, and there was a Jeff Pryke.
Yeah, the oldest son.
Yeah, and then there was another one who was a barber in Ipswich called Eddie. That's right, yeah.
I was at school with him at King Edward.
Yeah, that's right. My father used to be friends with them. I remember Eddie having a barber's in Ipswich, just down from round the corner from what's now the Ipswich Regent. That's the next road, sort of to the left on those traffic lights there. I can't think of the name of the road.
I heard he was a barge that's right. Barber, but I didn't quite know where.
Yeah, it was down. I was down there. Yeah, and I think there were several more either brothers or sisters than those
there were
two.
Four altogether.
Four. Yeah.
Jeff, John, Eddie, and Brian, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I've got pictures of Jeff with my father when they were sort of, I don't know, in their 20s or something. Yeah. They had a picture taken somewhere, you know.
He died quite young, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
I thought he did.
I think my father went to his wedding. I'm pretty sure there's a picture at home somewhere of that, you know, when that was...
Yeah, he'd be your father's age, you see.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
He was a bit older than me.
Yeah.
And John was the next one. He was a little bit younger.
Yeah.
Eddie was a year or two younger.
Yeah.
Brian was only a little tot.
Right.
I remember. And then they all moved to somewhere, Ipswich, I think.
Yeah. Because Malcolm Frost is sort of my, he's younger than what my father would have been, but he knows like a lot of the people who my father probably went to school with, like Peter Howlett and people like that.
Peter Howlett's still going,
he's still going, yes, that's right, yeah.
Yes, I remember Peter.
Yeah.
But most of those other ones are all gone, been gone in the year.
I mean, if you look through the list at the cemetery, then there's all these people, and they're all people, you know, from the past who had a lot to do with different things, you know, whether it was like Lutt or Talbot doing stuff up at the cemetery, because they done a lot of things up
Talbot
there, didn't
did,
they?
Yeah.
After this is after probably after Clears, isn't it?
Talbot, yeah. Lutt, and then there was sort of Alfred Largent on the Snuff, they called him.
Because there's a lot of Largents in the village, wasn't there? Several families of them, wasn't there?
Well, it all came from four older...
That's right.
There was one... The oldest one, Harry, they called him Bungy.
That's right, I've got a picture of him, yeah.
And then his brother was Sammy. And then there's another cousin, and Mum, I think he was Harry as well. And, and Joe...
Yeah.
And Joe's daughter Edie married Dan Pickersgill.
Yeah. Because they originally came from Norfolk, that family.
Because
I've done that family tree amongst all the other ones, and they originally came from Norfolk and obviously, found their way there.
What, to Badville?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, I imagine there must have been an old... old man at the head of it all who
yes there was yeah
had those four
that's those four boys yeah
four.
That's right yeah. I think we're sort of talking about sort of 1790 or something when this chap was born. He would have been the father. I can't remember his name. I think it might have been William first name, but then they came there, and obviously, you know, there's a lot of that family sort of still there, isn't there?
Well, yes Yes, there's a lot of lodges.
There's a lot, and they're all married into the other sort of families in the village. I mean, there's a lot of marriages, large and to whoever, and then you get, because people didn't travel that far in those days, and then you get a lot of marriages, different Badville families to each other, and then there might be somebody from Walsham, a family there, or Langham, or wherever, you know, and then and unless they sort of travelled for work somewhere, then, you know, they wouldn't have sort of gone too far.
No, in fact, they were like little tribes almost.
Yeah.
They didn't like people coming from other villages.
No,
know?
That's right, yeah.
I've heard Ellie, once again, Ellie Rowe.
Yeah.
He worked for us, you see, and when we were hoeing beet, and as a boy, I was hoeing like mad to keep up with these other chaps.
Yeah.
Hearing all these stories.
Yeah.
Apparently, before the First World War, some of them would go down to Walsham, the Belds, and you know they'd be scrapping and fighting.
Mm, yeah.
And then the next Saturday, the Belds lot would come down to Badville.
Oh, I see.
And they said that yard round the back there sometimes. Yeah. You know, there was just one sort of one big fight going on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I said, really, well, what do it for? Well, he said, I don't know, but he said the war came.
Yeah.
It never happened after that. No. They had enough of fighting.
After that.
They had enough of fighting after that. That stopped all that. But
yeah.
This was before the First World War.
Yes, yeah.
Well, this according to Ellie once again, yes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, his stories, and of course he was in the First World War. He was wounded in his leg, I think.
Yeah.
He was saying how bad it was. When he had his wound, how he had to get back wounded, and there's a sniper every time he showed himself. Ping.
Yeah. I was saying.
Yes, that sounded pretty horrible. Yeah.
Well, my father's father, my grandfather, he shot a German sniper out of a tree.
Yeah.
Wherever they were, there was a German sniper in trees, yeah, or something, yeah. And the officer said to him, "You've got one shot," and he shot this bloke, and this sniper fell dead out of the tree, wherever that was. But that, again, that's that sort of thing, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, I've all heard Ellie say that. He said, "They never showed a sniper any mercy."
No.
He said they didn't like a sniper.
No.
He said if they got him, they shot him.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
They never showed any mercy to a sniper.
No.
What else is there? I don't much else I
think.
Really.
I think, well, you've been a great help. We've been going now for about an hour and 10 minutes, so I think we better sort of draw to a close before our voices all... go. Well, it's nice.
My little carpet has gone a bit better.
Yeah, well,
it's been nice talking to you.
It's nice to talk to you, and we sort of covered a lot of, you know, places in the village and different people and things, what were there, what might not be there now, and things like that. And that's really nice to talk to you. So I'll say, on behalf of the History Group, thanks for talking to me.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah,
thank you very much.